Daf Kuf Yudalid on the Beis. We saw that the Gemara rejects the Pircha, and the Gemara says that in this case of Zriya, with regard to Kilayim, Klai Yisrael, the issue here is not the Karka so much. Obviously, all the Zera has to come from the Karka. And if he would put chitim and seorim, for example, in a kad, one next to the other, it would not generate any iser kelayim because they weren't planted one next to the other. In other words, the iser of zriyas shnei minei zroim zem zeh is not because of the chumra of pri and pri. There's no heter of Zriyas Chita in Karka because of the Kula of Pri with Ein. Because every Zriya is in the Karka. So you can't tell me that because he plants in the Karka, that's a case of Pri im Ha'ein. And here we have a precedent against our a hopeful conclusion in Basa B'Chalav about Priya Ma'em, because Zriya itself, by definition, is Priya Ma'em. You put the zer in the karka, and the karka produces whatever vegetation is produced. Now, in Zriya Shnei Minei Zroim Zem Zer, if you have two minim, and you plant them one or the other, that's pre im ha'em. So we're not going to prove from Kalai Zerim to Bas B'Cholav, because there is no precedent here for a kula of pre im ha'em. On the contrary, pre im ha'em is Shnei Minei Zerim Zem Zeh. That's pre im ha'em. That's clearly Asur B'Toras Kalayim. So now the Gemara is left without any pircha. There was no proof. We reject the proof from Klai Yisroim to the din of Pri and Pri. So we go back to the case of Shechita Sa'em in Bna B'Yom Echad. And that's going to teach us that Pri and Ma'em is Asur, and therefore in Bishul, if he cooks the meat of the gedi with the chalev of that same gedi, or call it an eiz, it would be aser. So once again, we're left with the problem why the braisa needed a pasuk. And as we discussed yesterday, Rav Ashi's final conclusion is that the pircha is because of shnei gufim versus guf echad. That maybe when the Torah prohibits Gedi b'Chalev Imo, it's because the Gedeon comes from, is the Gedeon, the Chalev Imo comes from the Eis, from a different goof. So the two goofim, that's what the Torah prohibits. But if it's all the same goof, it's like, you know, shechting an animal and eating all the parts of the animal, or cooking all the parts of the animal together, all the limbs, because that's mutter. The Easter is because the two goofim. And therefore, it's the kra. And that's how the Gemara finally justifies why we need a pasuk. And just to review, yesterday we had some sofer on a philosophical level. He wants to claim that this whole discussion revolves around Midas Achzorius, that Bishul Ha'em B'chol of Atzma is not real full-fledged achzorius. It's not so cruel. The Torah, as we said before, allowed you to shecht an animal and cook all its parts. So the chalav of the mother is part of the mother herself. It's like another part of her body. That's not achzorius. The achzorius is only b'shnei gufim when he takes the gedi and he cooks the gedi with the chalev imo of the goof of his of its mother. And then we had a bit of a long discussion about Rabbi Meir, who's quoted in the Tosfos Rosh, who says that this is an unfair pircha, Rav Ashi, because we're talking about a kal v'chomer from Shechita, and you're bringing me a pircha that's internal within Basa B'chol. Yesterday we started the Sugya of Amar Rav Ashi, so let's just do a quick chazara. Rav Ashi has a pasuk lo sochal kol to'eva, and he uses that as the source for the Isra Achila in Basa B'chol. Kol sheta'avti lecha harehu bebal tochal. So the Torah says you're not allowed to cook basa b'chala, which means you're not allowed to create a chefta basa b'chala. And if you go ahead and do so, then you've created a to'eva, something which is repulsive, which is abominable. And that comes under the law of lo sochel kol to'eva. So basa b'chala, which the Torah says is also b'bishul, becomes to'eva, and it's also b'achila under the law of lo sochel kol to'eva. And we gave an example yesterday of a min tahar, which was subject to some sort of an avera, some sort of an isur, and it becomes to'eva. For example, in addition to basar b'cholov, which is heter, min tahar, and he generates a to'eva by cooking them together, we have the case of tzoreim ozen b'char, where he deliberately takes his b'char and he makes an incision behind its ear, uposlo, and he makes it into a balas mum, so that it can no longer be brought in the mizbeach. And he wants to now shecht it outside of the Beis HaMikdash and eat its meat, because once it's a balas mum, it's yotze l'chulin, and now he wants to prepare it for eating. However, he violated this Isur because the Torah says kol mum lo yeh bo, and he's created a to'eva. In that case, we are not going to allow him, the Torah is going to prohibit him from shechting this balas mum and eating its flesh. And Rashi explains this in his Pirush al Torah in Dvarim Perek Yudalit. So Dovr Shenasta Bo Avera, and let's say there's no way of undoing that Avera, there's no Tikkun, then there's an Isur to eat that To'eva. Now later on, we're going to see a Gemara of Choresh Bishar V'Chamar Litzar, that if a person violates the Isur of Lo Tachrosh Shar V'Chamar Yachtov, and then as a result he's able to plant and grow vegetation, the Gemara wants to suggest that according to the logic of Rav Ashi, the vegetation should be asur, it should be a to'eva, which means, just like in the case of Bishul, we say that the Torah says you're not allowed to be mevashel basa b'cholov, and if you violate this avera of basa b'cholov, you've created a to'eva. So too, the Gemara is going to tell us that if you created something by doing a charish of shor v'chamor yachtov, it should become awesome.
Under the love of the Sofer called Tzvei.
Correct. But here we have a comment to Tosus, not here but elsewhere. Tosus points out that in the case of Basa B'cholov, even if there was no Avera done, for example, it was a katan who cooked milk and meat, or it was a guy who cooked milk and meat, or maybe the milk fell onto the meat, you know, the wind blew it onto the meat. Nevertheless, there would be an Isur according to Rav Ashi of Lo Sochel Kol To'eva, since the Torah says don't cook it together. The very fact that it's mevushal together is considered a to'eva. That you'll see here in Rashi. Tosus later on is going to ask, How do we eat something called ilim or elim shesirsan afilu al yedei oved kochavim? So let's say you have a kosher animal which was castrated, and now an aver was done in the gufo shel ha'ayil. The ayil itself should become to'eva, and it's called nasa ba aver, nasa ba isur. The Tosus answers that in the pasuk uba'atzchem lo tasu, which is the source for isur sirus, at the beginning of the pasuk it says lo sakrivu lashem, and then it says uba'atzchem lo sasu, and it's mashma that if it's mesuras, then it's also legavoa, because the Torah says lo sakrivu lashem. It's a din in kodshim lemizbeach ba'akrova, implying that lehejon it's muta b'achila. But basically, we see from Tosus that whenever there was an avera done in an object, then the result is that the object itself becomes us. Now, I'm not sure exactly why he castrated the animal, but let's say, for argument's sake, I'm just talking in a theoretical sense, he had some sort of constructive purpose in doing so. And the act itself is called a tikkun. Tosa seems to assume that it matters not whether or not we call Sirus a tikkun or not. It's also, and the Torah says, you know, it'll be Besaris. I say this because we're going to have a discussion here about tikkun. What happens if he does a maisa that creates, that violates an Isur, but it creates some sort of a tikkun? Like, for example, let's say he cooks food on Shabbos. So is that food considered to'eva? And it's also b'achila. So we'll wait a little bit patiently till we get to that sugya. But now I want to learn with you the sugya of Rabbi Avo. And that's as far as the Isur Hanah is concerned. So from whence do we derive the Isur Hanah and Basar V'Chalav? According to Rav Ashi, that the Isur Achilu is derived from Lo Sochal, now we can place the Isur Achilas Basar V'Chalav into the framework of Rabbi Avo, who says that whenever the Torah says Lo Sochal, Lo Yochal, Lo Sochal, Lo Sochlu, Echad Isur Achilu v'Echad Isur Hanah v'Mashma. The only exception to that is going to be Nevela. Why? Because in the parasha, Nevela, the Torah says, Lager Asher B'Sharecha Titvena O Machar L'Nachri Machalav O Machar L'Nachri. And from the exception to the rule, you learn the rule. Meaning, the rule is, by implication, that whenever it says an Isur Achilu, it includes an Isur Hanah, the Torah therefore had to go out of its way in the case of the Vela to be Matir Hanah. Why did the Torah have to do that? Why couldn't the Torah just say Lo Sochu call the Vela, period, and I would know that you're allowed to sell to a guy? The answer is because since Lo Sochlu generates an Isur Achilu, and whenever the Torah generates an Isur Achilu, we expand it to include an Isur Hanah, the Torah therefore, in a case where Hanah is mutter, the Torah had to go out of its way to spell that out. So we now go back to Lo Sochal Kol To'eva, Kol Tervashi, in the case of Basar V'Chalav, and we derive not just an Isur Achilu, but also an Isur Hanah. Now at this point in the sugya, I think there's a bit of a digression. The Gemara quotes a braisa, And the Braisa goes into details about what kind of hadnah are you allowed to benefit from in the case of the Vela. Once the Torah is matter the Vela, that's going to be machlokas from you, the Chachamim. L'chora, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this, but as far as my eyes can see, this has nothing to do with Basa B'cholov. You know, if we're learning a perek in Shas that's dedicated to Basa B'cholov, I'm not sure if we have to know when the Torah's matter, I know in the Vela, exactly how I can benefit from it. I don't know. But once the Gemara quotes this pasuk of Lager, Lo Sochlu called the Vela, Ger Shem Shach Tetenev Achalo, Bechar Lenachri, so it goes off on a limb here to study that pasuk. The Sani we learned in the Braisa. Lo Sochlu called the Vela, Ger Shem Shach Tetenev Viachala, O Machar Lenachri. The Torah has two scenarios of Hadnah, which both of which are permissible in the Vela. One is Titnena, which means don't sell it but give it as a gift, Leger. And the other is Machar, sell it, Lenachri. Now, presumably, the ger is not a ger tzedek because he's not allowed to eat the veil, obviously. The nachri is not even a ger, and therefore the Torah is going to require that you charge him for the veil and don't give it to him gratis. But here we have a sheet of the chachamim, and they're going to reinterpret this pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda is going to insist on learning this pasuk literally, kipshuto. That's called dvarim kiksava. But first, the Bryce introduces the chachamim that are going to be much more permissible and expand the scope of the heter anah in the vela. Eli el lager ben esina, I'm allowed to give a gift to a ger. But I have to sell it to a guy, and that would be the simple dvarim kiksava. Lager bit of mechira minayin. How do I know that if I decide to sell it to a ger, rather than give it to him gratis, I'm allowed to do so? Tavloma lager titnena o bachar. In other words, we're going to chop up the pasuk, move the commas around, so to speak. And instead of reading it like ger to tenena, and that ends the story as far as ger, which means you have only one option as far as the available ger, and that's a gift, and then O introduces a whole new clause, we're not going to stop after the word to tenena, but rather we're going to attach the words O machar to the beginning of the pasuk, like ger to tenena O machar. And basically the Torah is giving you two options. Now it could be that the sequence is very critical. Meaning, what the Torah really recommends here is that you give the ger a gift. The Torah is allowing you, if you didn't rise to the occasion, the option of selling it to a ger. Now the flip side. Am I allowed to give a guy a gift? And the answer is, according to the Chachamim, yes. We and once again we rearrange the commas and the pauses of the pasuk, and we read it titnena o machal lenachri. So now the word titnena has a double function. It's bili el ubi lera. On the one hand, titnena goes back on a case of ger, and you give it to her as a gift, and that certainly is the way you want to do it if all things are equal. That's the ideal. But now I'm going to read the same word titnena by attaching it to the end of the pasuk as offering an option with regard to a nachri that you're allowed to give him an outright gift. So that's called lidrosh es pasuk b'shtei ponim, that we take a word in the pasuk and we darshan it and interpret it in two different directions. Nimsa. So now the Braisa gives a summary of the Shitas Chachavim. Echa Geri, Echa Novi Kachav, Bein Ben Rechira, Bein Ben Sina. Dibre Rabbi Meir. That's the Tanakama Rabbi Meir. Now, before we go on to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, let's mention Rashi in a few different places. First of all, we have a Rashi in Masechta Avodah Zarah who interprets what the word ger means in this context. Ger Toshav. Rashi says, Shekibel Olav Sheven Mitzvahs Pnei Noach. And Rashi adds 2 points. Number one, Nevela Muteres Lo, because Sheven Mitzvahs Pnei Noach does not include an Issa Nevela. Number two, Mitzvah Lach Yoso, Shenemar V'chei Imach. And V'chei Imach means that we have to support a Ger Toshav.
It's only in Eretz Yisrael?
And that's in Eretz Yisrael, correct. Now we have to know today if we have goyim who fit this category called ger toshav. Some want to say if they want to live with us in peace, that's enough. Mm-hmm. Others say they have to accept Shem and Mitzvah Pnei Noach in front of a Beis Din, and they have to go through a process of gerus to make them into a ger toshav. Now we have another Rashi. Rashi in Psachim, which is the main sugya of Rabbi Avoh,
right.
There, Rashi says that we have to take out the words, change the girsa, quote, lager b'nesina uli oved kol chavim b'mechira, because those words are correct only according to Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation of the pasuk. We're going now with the Tanna Kamma with Rabbi Meir. So that Rabbi Meir is of the Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that you can only give it as a gift to a ger or sell it to an akum, but not the other way around. Right. Now, where does Rabbi Avoh fit into this? And this Rashi and Psachim about Rabbi Avoh might help us understand why the Gemara here in Perikol Basar quotes this entire braisa. And he writes that Rabbi Avoh Eino Sover came. Which, if I understand correctly, what Rashi is trying to tell us is that Rashi rejects Rabbi Yehuda, which is the Dvarim Kiksovim interpretation. She'em came because if you would accept Rabbi Yehuda, then the entire proof of Rabbi Avoh from this pasuk in the veil of falls goes down the tubes. Why? Because you're going to ask, why did the Torah have to be matir nevela? All it said was lo sochal. And the answer is that the pasuk is coming to teach you that you're not allowed to give a gift to the nachri and you're not allowed to sell it to the ger toshav. It's not that the pasuk is coming to be matir. On the contrary, the pasuk is coming less. And Rabbi Avoh stands on the premise that this pasuk, like ger asher, etc., is coming to be matir hana, implying that elsewhere achila generates an iser hana, and that makes sense according to Rabbi Meir the Tanna Kamma, because this pasuk is coming to teach you any hana, whether it's the sina Lenachri, whether it's Mechira Leger, straight across the board. But if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then the whole proof falls completely down, because the reason for this pasuk is not to be matir hana, but on the contrary, to limit your hana and tell you what are the conditions that have to be met in order to be matir hana. Now, do you see a Tosus that says Kiderech?
Yes.
What number is that on the page?
It's the second Tosus.
Second Tosus. So he quotes Rashi, and he says that perhaps you could interpret that Rabbi Avoh is not telling us that the Vela is Muteres Leger B'Nesina, and to an akum b'mechira dafka. And that's why Rashi understood that we have to change the girsa l'ger b'nesid l'ov kochav b'mechira, because that can't work out with Rabbi Avo. But the Bryce is only quoting the Lashon HaKra, the Lashon of the Pasuk. It's not telling you that la'alocha, that's what we hold. Well, let's go on now to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Dvarim Kiksom. La'ger b'nesina uli ovid kocham b'mechira. You're not allowed to give a gift to an ovid kocham or sell for money the nevela to a ger. Now, the Rambam in Hilchos Chiyah Matana Perek Gimel Aluch Yud Aleph paskins that you're not allowed to give a gift to a guy, but in the case of a ger toshav, mutar bein b'mechiru bein b'nesina. So there's machlokas here between the Rambam and Rashi. Rashi understands that you're not allowed to sell, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the nevela to a ger, and the Rambam allows you to sell a nevela to a ger. So the Rosh Yosef, that's the Prima Gadin, and you'll find something similar to the Beis HaLevi, they hold that according to Rabbi Yehuda in the Rambam's frame of reference, there was never an Issa Mechira L'Ger. There was only an Issa Nesina L'Nachri.
I have the Rambam in front of me. I think
That I didn't see. I'm talking Hilchos Chiyah Matana Perek Gimel. That's where the Rambam allows you to sell it to a ger.
Here he writes, "Aser l'aseis l'goy mas naschino ela mocher lo."
Yeah, but he also talks about ger over there.
He does.
What does he say?
Aval no sein hu the ger toshav.
So that's not in Sechir Matana?
It says here, it's in
Avash Kofofim. Okay, so maybe the Rambam has it in two places.
Could be.
Now, the Iser of giving a gift to a Nachri in Rabbi Yehuda's frame of reference is derived from Bachar L'Nachri. So Tosis elsewhere in Avodah Zarah wants to know Why not derive that conclusion from the pasuk Lo Sichane? Lo Siten Lemachnas Matnas Chino. So Tosus says that from Lo Sichane we derive an Iser Lav, and Rabbi Yehuda wants to derive an Iser Essay. But then Tosus says that Machal L'Nachri is coming to teach us that Nesina L'Ger should be b'chinam and not b'damim, which again seems to be against the Rambam's view, but it would support Rashi's view. By Taibet Rabbi Yehuda, Isal Kedata Kidaka Omar Rabbi Meir is lichtov rachmona lo sochlu kol nevela lager asher b'sherechet titnena v'achala u'machar. It should have said in one breath, "Lager Hashem b'sharecha titnena v'achola u'macha l'nachri." That would be mashma that the word titnena would refer back to ger and forward to nachri, allowing a nesina even to a gut. Oh, lovely. Doesn't the extra word lo indicate a chiluk, a pause? And therefore we have to take the resha as a separate entity and the sefer is independent of the resha. And the resha is teaching us that in the case of a ger, you need nesina, and in the case of a nachri, mechira. Shema minol advar ksavu uksiv. The ger and nesina lo become mechira. So now we have a problem. What is Rabbi Meir going to do with the extra word o? So again, it would seem that the whole problem here, the headache here, is the word O. If you take out the word O, then you could interpret the pasuk on both Lefanov and Liachrov, the way we took the word Titzaneta before and we used it twice. Now Tosfos says that we find something similar in a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Samach Aleph, on the pasuk at the end of Vayikra, it says, "Es kaspecha lo siten lo b'neshech uve marbis lo siten ochlecha." So we're talking about the Isur of Neshech, which applies to Kesef, and the Isur Umarbis, which is Ribis, that applies even to Ochel, even to food stuff. So let's say, for example, I lend you an egg and you give me back two eggs in return. So that comes under Umarbis Lo Site. And the beginning of the pasuk is referring to interest on a loan. So the Gemara asks, Minayin Le'isur Ribis Bekesef V'neshech Be'ochel. How do we know that the reish of the pasuk, which prohibits neshech, also prohibits ochel, or the other way around, that the end of the pasuk, which prohibits marbis, also applies to kesef? So we're going to have a double lav that applies to both kesef and to ochel. And the Gemara answers that we darshan it es kaspecha lo site lo v'neshech uve marbis, and then we read it uve'neshech uve marbis lo tite li ochlecha. So we see that the Gemara Bava Metzia already sets this precedent where you can read a pasuk both lefonov and liachrov, and you end up with part of the pasuk that tells you two different things. It tells you something about the reish of the pasuk and something about the seif of the pasuk. However, Tosfos points out that we have a stira from a Gemara in Yuma, and the Gemara there insists that ein darshin both lefonov and liachrov, and that's the brisa of Isi ben Yehuda.
The last one.
Yeah, Tosfos asks, what about Rabbi Isi ben Yehuda, who says chamesh mikros shebat Torah elen hechrea? We don't know whether we read the pasuk or the words of the pasuk on lefonov or on liachrov, and there are five such examples. One is Se'es, that's in Breishis Dalid. One is Mishukadim in Shmos Chaf Hei. One is Machar in Shmos Yud Zayin. Arur in Breishis Memtes. Vekam in Dvarim Lamin. So Tosfos raises the following question: why does Gemara say Ela Hechra? Why not just say that we should dash into both Alefanov and Ali Achrov, which we've seen here in the Chachamim, meaning Rameir Shita in Chulin, and we saw it in the Gemara Bava Metzia with regard to Neshech Umarvis. Not only that, Tosfos says the plaque grows thicker because Isi ben Yehuda himself in Masechta Kiddushin takes the pasuk Takum Ve'Hadarta and he interprets it both Alefanov Ve'Alechorov. So Tosfos answers that as far as the veil is concerned, there are two different words in the pasuk. It says Titnena and then it says Machar, a gift or a sale. And therefore, we are inclined to understand that one word goes lefaneha, and one word goes lachreha. Veheichad shehisbich hakosav shtei tevos elu zu lezu. But if the Torah puts these two words together, one next to the other, contiguous to the other, then we darshan both words, both on lifneim and lachreim. In the five psukim of Isi ben Yehudei lemehechrea, the pasuk mentions only one teva. And if it mentions only one teva, then it could be that teva is only ole in one direction, either lefaneha or leachreha, and not on shneim. So Tosus works out a methodology here for when do we say lifneim lachreim, and when do we say elem hechreim. Rabbi Meir says the Gemara back in our sugya, what does Rabbi Meir do with the extra word O? Rabbi Meir tells you that the word O is giving us kedima. Hi O lahaktim the sida the ger lemechira the oved kochavim. So for example, let's say he has two non-Jews in front of him, and he has this nevela, and he has to choose one option or the other. One of these two is a ger toshav, and the other is an oved kochavim. He should give it to a ger as a gift, even if he'll have to take a little bit of a loss by not selling it to a goy. So he means that the Iker mitzvah, which appears at the beginning of the pasuk, is like ger Hashem Shrechet Tidena. The O would tell me that if there's no possibility of giving it to a ger, let's say in a case where the ger is not available, then O Macha L'Nachri, then go ahead and sell it to a guy. Now, a person wants to sell his nevela, and it's worth quite a bit. And now we're saying that he's mechuyev to give it to a ger as a gift. What would be if you had two Jews in front of you? One Jew is asking for a gift, and the other Jew is willing to buy it for you. Are you obligated to give it as a gift to one Yisrael rather than sell it to another? Sitosis, Dibya Maskal Ad, says the following, V'yesh Lomar, Shedid Zehu Rak B'Nevela B'Eretz Yisrael, She'ein Ovdei Kochav B'Tzuyim Sham, U'Dmeyem U'Otim. Right. So it means it's very hard to sell a nevela. So you're going to end up with a very slashed price. Ulager, he shava harbe kishar basa. For the ger, it's worth the same as any meat. But if a person has a desire to sell it, then certainly he's allowed to sell it to a nachri. And if he can get a decent price, and he has a nachri around who's willing to pay that price, then he's allowed to sell it to a nachri. We're not going to require that he give it as a gift, not even to Yisrael. But only in the case where A, there are very few goyim around, and they're not going to jack up the price. The law of supply and demand tells us that the price is going to get low. And B, he's got a ger, and for this ger, the meat is worth full price, he has no Issa Nevela, then he gives it to a ger, rather than take a loss and sell it at a reduced price to a good. All this has to be worked out in halacha, obviously. I'm just giving you the general guidelines. The Tosfos HaRosh says that Ein Kavonis Rabbi Meir Sheyesh Lahakdim Nesina Leger Lemechir Lenachri. That's not what Rabbi Meir had in mind, according to this Tosfos Rosh. We thought that the O is teaching me give it to a ger as a gift rather than sell it to a goy. Ella, what he means is that yesh lahaktim nesinas ger le nesinas nachri. What the pasuk is only telling me is that if you're in a very magnanimous mood and you want to give away your nevela, you don't have time to sell it in the market, you don't want to be metapel with that. So if you have two goyim in front of you, you should give kedima to the ger. And let's say, for example, there are two goyim who want to purchase this nevela. One is a ger and the other is a nachri. So you give precedence, preferential treatment to the ger, and you sell to the ger. Again, it's a bit of a stretch in the language of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says, "Lahaktiv nesina de ger lebechira de ovi kochavim," as if to say we're talking about two different options that he has. Whereas according to Tosa Rush, really, it's one of the two options. It's not two options, and each one has its own din kedima, but rather it's in a case where either he's giving it away or he's selling it, and that's how we're going to interpret the words lahaktim nesina de ger linesina de goy or mechira de ger le mechira de akul. Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda holds dvarim kiksav, which means that as far as the ger is concerned, you have to give it to him as a gift. And as far as the goy is concerned, you have to sell it to him. So now the Gemara says that the word ol in Rabbi Yehuda's frame of reference is not just there to teach you dvarim kiksavam, as we said until now, but it adds another element, and that is a din kedima. Even Rabbi Yehuda will derive a din kedima. Lahatim nesina de ger lemechira de ovi kochavim. So if you want to tell me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the word o is coming to dvarim kiksavam, and it's only Rabbi Meir that requires a din kedima, because Rabbi Meir allows selling it to a ger or giving it to or giving a gift to a nachri. Now Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, "No, you don't have that second option." Again, let's emphasize. According to Rabbi Meir, since you have two options and both are acceptable, we need a din kedima. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, in ger you have one option, and in goy you have one option. So where's the din of kedima? L'chora, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no room for din kedima. So yet the Gemara says svarahu. What does this mean? That lahaktim nesina the ger lemechira de ovi kochavim. Since I need the o for dvarim kiksavam, I don't have the O as a din kedima. So now let's say I have two options. I have this nevela. I can either give it as a gift to a ger, or I can sell it on the market to a goy. The Torah should have gone out of its way to teach me a din kedima. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, no. The din kedima here of the sina leger, excuse me, is not a new halacha nevela, but rather it's an application of a universal halacha in terms of our obligation vis-a-vis the ger tosha. And that's what he calls lo tzarch cross svarahu. Atom etzuva lach yoso. This we mentioned at the beginning of today's discussion, that when it says in the Pasuk, at the end of Vayikra, it says, Ger v'sosha v'chei imach, which is a reference to a Ger Toshav, and you have to support him, and that's called v'chei imach. But v'zeh, in the case of an Oved Kochavim, i'ato mitzuva lach yoso, you don't have any obligation of tztaka or support. Therefore, obviously, in the case where you have two options, one is lach yoso, to fulfill the mitzvah with regard to a ger toshav, the other is lemachro lenachri, which is no mitzvah at all, then you will be makdim Nesina Leger. All this is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now Tosus and Avodah Zarah, not here, asks, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why did the Torah have to mention Nesina Leger? Since we can derive from Svara, based on the pasuk v'chei imach, that you have a mitzvah lachyoso, so that I know that if there's a ger and I can be mechaya him and, you know, give him tztaka and give him this nevela which is worth to him like a full-fledged, full-valued basar, then for sure that's what I have to do. That's my mitzvah. I'm not going to sell it to a guy because I don't want to forfeit that mitzvah of lach yoso. So the Torah just could have mentioned mechira l'nachri, and the svara we could have learned that you give it to a ger. That's what bothers Tosus. Now in the footnote here, he has a comment based on Rashi and Psachim that according to Rabbi Yehuda, mechira l'ger asura, which means that from the pasuk of Nasal Leger, you derive that you're not allowed to sell it to a ger. Tosus rejects that. But if you hold like Rashi here, then Tosus' kashin of Onizor falls off. Tosus wants to know, why did the pasuk have to tell me Nesina Leger, after all it's a mitzvah lach yoso, so we know it be svara. But according to Rashi's pshat, Rabbi Yehuda needs the pasuk Nesina Leger to generate an Issa Mechira Leger. But Tosus holds that Mechira Leger, as we discussed earlier, is not Asur. In fact, Tosus says that if you have two Jews, you would not prohibit him from selling something to a Yisrael rather than giving it as a gift to another Yisrael. Okay, but according to Tosus, he holds that Mechira Leger is absolutely mutter, and therefore we don't understand why the Torah had to go out of its way to mention the Nesina Leger. Since Mechira Legoy, I meant to say, is mutter, why did the Torah have to spell out Nesina Leger? So Tosus answers that if the Torah would have only spelled out Mechira Leger, we would have mistakenly thought that the Torah is coming to exclude the Nesina Leger. Why would we have such a havamina? Adarav, the Nesina Leger would seem to be a mitzvah, lach yoso. Why would I entertain what sounds like a kruma svara that I'm not allowed to give and avail it to a ger? Zaktaisis. Unbelievable. Kevin Shekiva al Atzmo Shevet Mitzvahs B'nei Noach Hayamakom Lomar Sha'asur LeYisrael Achilo Kidei Sheyitei Libo Lizgayer Lagamri. The Havamina was that we want to impact, you know, this is the whole question of, you know, whether we should be Makar of the Goyim for Shevet Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. He's saying even more than that, Tosus, that we should be Makari Vagair Toshav once he's already accepted Gerus for 7 mitzvahs, to try to get him to be Magayar completely and become a Ger Tzedek. So rather give him this preferential treatment and simply every time we have an avail in the Shlechos, call in the Ger Toshav and say, here's a gift. We want to offer him an incentive so that he will come for Gerus Gemura. He started the process of Gerus, let him finish it and go all the way, as we would say. So it's interesting, if you'd ask me the following question, you know, there's a whole movement today, the Noahides, you know, the people going down south and trying to influence them for Shem Mitzvah Noah. That's fine. Ask me a different question. Are we missionaries to try to get Goyim to convert to Judaism? The answer is a flat no. But yet, it's not such a flat no, because if we succeed in getting the ger to accept his gerus as a ger toshav for Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, then at that point, we may want to influence him to go a step further. Now, Tosh doesn't say what the maskana is. The maskana, the Torah says, la ger titdena. which means that we're not giving him any extra incentive to be mizgaya. But have we completely rejected the Havavina? I don't know. Maybe the Havavina was that therefore we should, the best method somehow of getting the ger to be motivated to be mizgayer is by denying him the nevela as a gift. But Nidl Maskonato says that the Torah doesn't give that, that Torah doesn't specify or design that as the method of kiruv, of getting him to become a full-fledged ger. Maybe there are other methods that we could use, but we don't have to deny him an avela. Now, what we have at this point, let's just summarize, is that Rabbi Avo says whenever it says achila in the Torah, lo sochlu, it means achila and hanna. Since we have Rav Ashi, that we derive the Isra Achila Bas B'chol from Lo Sochlu called the Vela, called Toeva, therefore Bas B'chol is also Banna, because the Torah says Lo Socha. However, all that works out according to the Shita of Rabbi Meir. But if we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Pasuk is coming to teach us that Nevela is Mutar B'nesina only Leger, and when it comes to a guy, you're not allowed to give him as a gift, you can only sell it to him. So we have no Yitur the cry. We need the Pasuk. So we don't have the possibility of deriving Rabbi Avo's conclusion, which means that Rabbi Avo's drasha is based exclusively on Rabbi Meir, who allows the Sina Umachira Bein Lenachri Bein Leger. And according to him, the Pasuk is really not telling me anything I didn't know, because it says Lo Soklu, why would I think otherwise? Where would I generate an Isra Hanof? So for the fact that Torah had to be Mater Hanno in the case of the Vela, obviously it means that the Isra Hanno is implicit in the Isra Achila, and that gives us Rabbi Avo. So the final Maskada here, as we move on, is that our drasha of Rabbi Avo, and that drasha is the basis for our conclusion that there's an Isra Hanon Bas B'cholov, is standing on the shoulders of the Shita of Rabbi Meir, but is irreconcilable with the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So that's where we're going to stop for now, and basically we're going to begin on Yom Rishon Emirtz Hashem a new sugya, and that's going to be the sugya of, you have the simona here, Shabbos Choresh, it's here. Fine, so let's make a note that will, so I wish everyone a good